Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
Amen. 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 Well, is everybody good? I tell you, our online girls are there, and we have so many views during the week, and we're so excited for those of you that are watching us online this morning. But I want to talk to the girls in the house. I vitally need feedback, so I want you to egg me on this morning so that the anointing will be rich and everyone will receive. Are you guys good? Everybody good out there? The lights are kind of like, are you there? Yeah, you're there. Okay. Well, I want to talk to you today about just something that God started doing in my life. And when we're asked to share the word, so many times especially our founding pastors used to always encourage us, speak what's going on in your life, you know, because that's what's going to come out of you in the strongest way. And I always say, well, if I'm pointing a finger at you, I'm pointing three back at myself. And so this is something God's been dealing with me on that, you know, right now maybe we're having the Braxton Hicks rumblings of what will go forth in the future. I don't know. I have a sense in my heart, like so many others, that Jesus is returning soon. But we've got to walk out this season, right? And we can't go there like the world goes there. We have to have a lifting up. We have to do life differently because we're living by kingdom rules. Are you with me? Are you out there? We're living by kingdom rules, and that's a kingdom that is higher than this kingdom. We're not of this world. We're in it. We're still in it. We're ambassadors from heaven, but we're not of it. And so we can't let things going on around us stick and bring us down like so many in the world. But I wanted to talk to you today about the medicine that we need to take in this hour. Many have been taking medicine for various things. Pastor Jess praised God for Z-Pak recently, and that helped her with bronchitis as well as, you know, I know she believes in healing. But sometimes these things help us with our symptoms. But God wants us to take his medicine today. And I want to talk to you about having a merry heart. I want to talk to you about rising above many of these things with the joy of the Lord. And we're going to look at some of these things. But I have a picture of a baby, should have a picture of a baby laughing. Isn't that a cutie? If you're on social media at all, I just love pictures of people's babies. I think Julie Leshko has one of the cutest little grandbaby boys, and she just makes him laugh. And I wanted to have a laughing baby today, but the licensing requirements wouldn't let us do that. But I want us to practice right now. Pastor Jim used to do this with us, and Pastor Jess does sometimes. I want us to laugh. I want us to say, ha, ha, ha. You can do a little better than that. I want us to say, ho, ho, ho. I want us to say, he, he, he. And you know, in my internet searching on laughter, it said that actually, even a simulated laugh can do as much for you as a real laugh. Isn't that good? I grew up in a home where my dad was a big jokester. And he had a quick wit. That quick wit tongue got him in trouble sometimes. I feel like I inherited that curse. But anyway, he had a quick wit. And every night at dinner, and there were 9 of us every night at dinner, yes. And every night at dinner, there was salad, there was vegetables, there was a main course. Yeah, I was the salad girl. Yeah. Anyway, but he had his joke for the day. And they were good, clean jokes because my parents were committed Christians. But we would laugh. And so at the dinner table, after the food was started going around and everything, we would say, Daddy, tell us a joke. And sure enough, he'd have a joke for us. And he was, because of that, people liked being in my dad's presence. And he always made them feel very welcome and loved because he just found humor in everything. And I feel like we need to do that more. Amen? But it was funny. I was going to tell later on, but he used to, when my mom was younger, you know, and they, you know, she had 7 kids by the time she was 35. You know, I was just getting started at 35. But anyway, she, their friends would say, you know, Fern, my mom's name was Fern. Fern's going to turn 40. So, you know, what are you going to do when she turns 40? And he'd say, well, when she turns 40, I'm going to trade her in on 220s. And so that was the family joke. And so when she turned 40 and we had that party for her and everything, somebody says, well, now what are you going to do now? And he goes, you know, I'm not wired for 220. You know, and so he just had a joke for everything. And there's, you know, there's a good side of that, maybe a bad side, you know. But I say in this day and hour, I've been saying it a lot, that if you don't laugh, you'll cry. And so sometimes we just have to look at certain things going on and let God, you know, give us the humorous side to things. But anyway, I want to read you just some benefits of laughing according to medical science. Are you ready? Laughter is good for your health. Did you know that? Laughter is good for your health. Laughter relaxes the whole body. A good hearty laugh relieves physical tension and stress, leaving your muscles relaxed for up to 45 minutes after. They say it can do as much for you as a good run. So I say if you don't like jogging, just laugh. Laughter boosts the immune system. Here you go. We're all locked indoors and aren't having as much sunshine as we need. We need to start laughing. Laughter decreases stress hormones and increases immune cells and infection-fighting antibodies, thus improving your resistance to disease. Yes, isn't that great? Laughter triggers the release of endorphins, the body's natural feel-good chemicals. Endorphins promote an overall sense of well-being and can even temporarily relieve pain. That's good to know. Laughter protects the heart. And I thought this was so important. You know, medical science or, you know, some of the things I was reading, they still haven't discovered why in the evolutionary process humans laugh. They haven't figured that out, like how that came to be. Well, we know that God created it. But laughter protects the heart. Laughter improves the function of blood vessels and increases blood flow, which can help protect you against a heart attack and other cardiovascular problems. And you know, it was interesting. I was looking at Luke 21:26. It says, in these last days, men's hearts will be failing them for fear of the expectation of things that are coming upon the earth. And that's why many of us, I mean, I can only watch so much news. I kind of play a little bit of catch up and then because I have to look to God's word and what he's saying about our situation and not just the emphasizing all the negativity of everything that's going on. And so if you're tempted to be fearful, the antidote for that is you've got to step back and you've got to raise your hands and you've got to begin to praise God and just go on a Holy Ghost laugh. I like this one. Laughter burns calories. Do I hear an amen in the congregation, ladies? Laughter burns calories. It's no replacement for going to the gym, but one study found that laughing 10 to 15 minutes a day can burn approximately 40 calories. So I did the math, and it said that that can result in 3 or 4 pounds a year. Well, I did the math. If you laugh for an hour, you'll burn 160 calories. If you laugh for 12 hours, you're going to burn 1,920 calories. So I think we need to go on a laugh-a-thon, and we'll call it the laughing diet, okay? And we'll just laugh all day long and lose 20 pounds. Anyway, laughter lightens anger's heavy load. Nothing diffuses anger and conflict faster than a shared laugh. Looking at the funny side can put problems into perspective and enable you to move on from confrontations without holding on to bitterness and resentment. You know, I remember when my daughter, Annette, was in junior high. You know, we were going through her hormonal struggles, and then I was having my hormonal struggles on the other end. And sometimes we had intense fellowship, not in a good way. And I remember we went through this season that she would come home from school, and the first thing we would do is we would watch reruns of I Love Lucy. And we would just laugh and laugh, and it really had a bonding effect on our relationship because, again, we weren't always, you know, seeing eye to eye during those days. But just good, clean laugh. I don't think anyone's funnier than Lucy. And it's not making jokes about anybody else but herself. And anyway, we would just have a good laugh together, and it would lift that heaviness sometimes that was between us. Laughter may even help you to live longer. Now, this is a good one. A study in Norway found that people with a strong sense of humor outlive those who don't laugh as much. The difference was particularly notable for those battling cancer. Now, that's, you know, a study that was done in Norway, and it had a little thing that I could have clicked on and gotten the exact stats on that, but I'm just going to take their word for it on that. Anyway, so I want to read you some jokes. Is that okay? And this is why preachers tell jokes. Did you know that? We found that to be true in children's ministry, too. We would always do some kind of icebreaker at the beginning, because when kids laugh with you, when you make kids laugh, they know you love them. And sometimes it would just break that ice to where then they would let us minister the word of God to them. And that's why pastors do it, actually. So, number one, what did the drummer call his twin daughters? Anna 1, Anna 2. Anyway, what did the hat say to the tie? You hang around, I'll go on ahead. Why can you never trust an atom? Because they make up everything. What do you call a bunch of rabbits in a row walking backwards? A receding hairline. Son, Dad, can I watch the TV? Dad, sure, but don't turn it on. The teacher asked little Henry, tell me, little Henry, what's the difference between ignorance and indifference? Little Henry, I don't know, and I don't care. What's Irish and stays out all night? Patio furniture. Anyway, did that sink in? Patio furniture? Patio? Anyway. So, those are just some corny jokes to just make you laugh. And sometimes we just need to stop and laugh, lift our hands and laugh. As I said already, God invented laughter. Everything about us that's good and wonderful, God created. He created us to laugh. You know, I think this is why I'm struggling, one of the reasons I'm struggling so much with this season in our society, because we have to wear masks. And I would go to the grocery store or wherever I was shopping, you know, and I would smile at people because I knew just even a smile would lift them up. And a lot of people aren't happy. And just being lifted up was a way, you know, if you can't communicate, if you can't say anything, at least there was the smile, right? So covering up that smile, I smiled at someone the other day in the store, and I was like trying to make my eyes look like they're smiling, you know. But God created us to even give in that way. He created us to smile. You know, what is it about dogs? When they're happy, their tail wags. When cats are happy, they purr. There's certain animals that they actually dance when they're happy. And we dance when we're happy, too. So God invented laughter. And, you know, I just imagine that when he was walking with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, I think they had a lot of laughter. I really do. I think, you know, he looked over at the giraffe and said, I don't know why I did that one, son. I don't know. That neck just seems like, you know, they're going to have a hard time finding something to eat, you know. And Adam said, oh, Dad, that's a funny one. Let's call it a giraffe. Anyway, so I just made that up. Anyway. Anyway, you know, he walked with them in the cool of the day, and there was laughter, there was a joyous time. Adam and Eve, I'm sure, loved that fellowship time with him. And that's why it was so hard when sin came into the garden, and there was a separation. Immediately there was shame and a wanting to hide from God instead of coming to him. And I praise God in 2 Corinthians 6:6, it says that we have been bought back into that place of fellowship. We can walk with God in the cool of the day. And we need to walk with him. We need to talk with him. Not be so hard and heavy on ourselves. But when there is a ping from the Holy Spirit that we did something wrong, say, oh God, forgive me. Help me to make up for that. Help me to correct that. And know that he's there and he created you to laugh and be even able to laugh at yourself, but to allow him to speak freely into your life. Amen? Did you know that children laugh about 150 times a day? Young children do? Yes. And the average adult laughs maybe 12 times a day. Well, in Matthew 18, 2 through 5, Jesus said, he brought a little child into their midst, and he said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. So I see a few children in our midst today because we're still trying to get children's ministry back for Thursday mornings. But, you know, we need to look at the children in our lives. I think that's one reason as grandmas, do I hear a whoop whoop from all the grandmas? I love spending time with my grandkids. My little 2-year-old granddaughter, oh, she just makes me laugh. And so when I'm with her, I laugh, and it just helps me put everything in perspective. And just to see the world through her eyes. And the other day, she was playing in the playroom, and I was off in the kitchen. Once in a while, I get a break, so I was off in the kitchen doing the dishes. And all of a sudden, she came running in the kitchen, and she just threw her arms around me. She says, she calls me Aya. I don't know where she got that. She goes, Aya, I missed you. And I'm like, you were gone for 3 minutes. You were giving me a break. But anyway, but just that joy that she finds in everything, I need that. Do I hear an amen? So relish your time with grandchildren if you have that. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A merry heart does good like medicine. That's why I've entitled this message today, Take Your Medicine. We need to take our medicine. I love Psalm 126, 1 through 3. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, when he brought us back from captivity and bondage when we received Jesus, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. That's what the nations are going to say someday. And I'm sure they're pondering that now for those that know there are Christians in the world. The Lord has done great things for us and we are glad. The Lord has done great things for us, ladies, and we are glad. Are you glad today? He's done great things for us. Ah, there's stuff going on. Those are distractions. But he's done great things for us. You know, during the 80s, I had the privilege of going to an incredible Bible college, and the founder of that Bible college, Kenneth E. Hagin, yes, I'm proud of it. He was an amazing man of God. And we would have these camp meetings and these conferences. And the Holy Spirit would begin to move like waves. And he would say, I just feel like someone's got to laugh. And he'd call up Sister So-and-so that he felt like had an infectious laugh. And she did. I just can't remember her name. But she would come up and she would just start laughing. And we would, it would be a blanket of the Holy Spirit's anointing would just fall on those thousands and thousands of people. And we would literally be rolling in the aisles. Maybe that's why they called us holy rollers. I don't know. But splitting a gut, laughing in the presence of God. Because there was a lifting up of the anointing. There was a lifting up where God was saying, whatever's going on in your world, I've got it. You don't have to worry. You can cast your cares on me. And I remember after those just seasons of just laughing, you would get up, and you did. You were kind of like, almost like a drunk person going, that was so good. Now, some people took it to some extremes and made a religious thing out of it and, you know, all this kind of stuff like humans do. We're so crazy. But there is an anointing that can come on you, especially after you've been in a time of intense prayer. The old Pentecostals knew about this. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will come on you and have you in an intense time of prayer where you have a sense that there's some real warfare going on. And then you'll sense that lift. like you prayed through. They'd call it praying through. You prayed through. You cooperated with the Holy Spirit. And there was a working and a travail that would go on. And then a lifting. And in that lifting, so many times there was a rejoicing and a dancing and a laughing, because there was a sense that you had cooperated with the Holy Spirit and a need in the Spirit had been met. So I want to encourage you, go there with the Holy Spirit. You're going to have fun, and He is going to make sure you don't stay down, you don't stay sad. If I run into people that are prayer warriors and they're all sad and, oh, I've got this burden, you got to get that burden lifted, sister. And if you walk with Jesus, you're not going to be sad. You're not going to be downcast. Even in this season, I'm telling you, even in this season, yet more so, as a blanket of darkness that comes on this earth, what are we going to do? Are we going to be the ones that have a heart attack because we're of fear of things coming on the earth? I'm telling you, in the natural, it ain't going to get better. So if you're waiting for it to get better so you can come out from hiding, it ain't going to get better. I'm sorry. I'm messing with you today. You know, we're getting feisty around here. We're like, Satan, bring it on. Bring it on. Because when gross darkness comes upon the earth, how much more? How much more? How much more are we going to shine brightly? And when there is no hope in the world, who are they going to look to? When there is no hope, when there is no smile, when there is no laughter, and you peek out behind that mask and give somebody a big smile, they're going to be like, what is it you have? What is it you have? Back when I was working in the secular world, and whenever I was new in a position, I would determine that I wasn't going to say one word about Jesus until they asked, and I was going to make them salty. I was going to make them thirsty. I was going to make them see something different by the way I carried myself, by the way I got to work early and stayed late and worked excellently as unto the Lord. But then there would come the day that they would say, what is it about you? I go, oh, you asked the question. So let me tell you. And then you have that door of utterance. But we need to be walking by a different set of rules. We're in the kingdom, and we're walking by kingdom rules, doing kingdom business. And we're walking with our master that causes us to have his joy. Amen? So our mouth needs to be filled with laughter. Psalm 89:15 says, blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. That's laughing. They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. And we know Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy. Am I giving you some hints this morning of how we stay in joy? We have to stay in his presence. You know, God, even under the old law, he instituted memorials and feasts and celebrations. And there was the Sabbath rest. That actually, he'll get upset with you if you mess with the Sabbath rest. He'll remind you, you've been working too much for me, little girl, and you need to just enjoy me. And he wants us to rest in him and relax in him and receive from him. There were 7 feasts, actually, and talked about in Leviticus 23, Passover, the unleavened bread, the first fruits, the feast of Pentecost, the feast of the trumpets, the Day of Atonement, the feast of the tabernacles. And I don't have time to get into all the feasts, but many of them lasted 7 days. For 7 days, people they'd maybe make a sacrifice or whatever, you know, he required. But then there was a time of feasting together, and there was gift giving. I love it, Christmas time. You know, we celebrate Jesus and the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus. And I always tell my grandkids, you know, the wise men gave the first gifts. Actually, God gave the first gift when he gave us Jesus. But then the wise men, in celebration of that, them brought gifts. And that's why we give gifts. It has nothing to do with Santa, although he's a good guy. We give gifts. And that's what God would tell them. He'd say, take a portion and give it to others that don't have. And so that principle God put in there. And whenever there was, you know, he would say, work hard for 49 years, but on that 50th year, in the year of Jubilee, I want you to celebrate for a whole year. Wouldn't that be nice? Not work for a whole year? Woo-hoo. Anyway, and you know that he has given us as a memorial the Lord's Supper. And that's a time when we rejoice and remember all that Jesus did for us, all that he's still doing, and the fact that he is returning for us. And we partake of his body. In Exodus 15:20, when the children of Israel came out of Egyptian bondage, they danced and sang. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels, with dances, and Miriam answered them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and rider are thrown into the sea." Any old-timers remember that one? Yeah. I even have my tambourine in those days. But anyway, but there was a rejoicing. They had come through 40 years of slavery under Egyptian bondage. It was a cruel slavery. And then God opened the Red Sea. They came through on dry land. That's amazing how that happened. The ground was dry. That wind had, you know, stacked up the walls of the sea on each side. And they traveled on dry ground. And then on the other side, as Pharaoh's army came through, they saw the waves of the water plummet down on that Egyptian army that had tormented them for a whole generation. They saw that. They saw them float and their bodies come to the edge of the sea, dead. God did in one moment what they could have never done. Don't you think there was rejoicing in their hearts? Don't you think they wanted to praise God for the victory they had today? And we need to celebrate those victories. Amen. David, in 2 Samuel 6:14 through 23, he was so happy that the ark had finally come back. And every six paces, Pastor Dan taught us about that, every six paces, they would build an altar the whole way, bringing the ark back from the house of Obed-Edom, I'm not saying that right, to the tabernacle where it was going to be kept. And they had been through so much, and David had longed to have the presence of God in the tabernacle, that he began to dance, and he danced so furiously, and he danced so unashamedly. He just had pure joy that enveloped him of finally bringing the presence of God into the temple. And he was just so overjoyed that he was just foolish. His clothes kind of flew off, and he was just like dancing. And Michael, his wife, saw that. And she didn't know what David knew. She didn't have the fear of the Lord like David had. She didn't value the presence of God like he did. And she was embarrassed. And she saw the girls kind of look at him. Maybe she was a little bit jealous. And it says she despised him. And then she talked to him later and said, "Yeah, you made a fool out of yourself." Well, you know what? After that, she never had a child. That's significant. She despised the joy that was going on in David over his king. We need to rejoice over our king. Amen. We need to make merry in our heart. I love Ephesians 18 through 20. And I've preached this one so much. I love ministering on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's just the thing I do for myself. I love seeing people that know Jesus to also come into a deeper knowledge of and baptism of his presence. But in Ephesians 5, 18 through 20, it says, "Do not be drunk with wine," but it says, well, let me read it. "And do not," because this isn't the King James, not the New King James. "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess." You might have to take a little for your stomach's sake. I'm not going to put you in condemnation there. But it says, "Do not be drunk with wine, wherein is excess." Don't drink it to excess. "But be filled with the Spirit." Now that's interesting. What happens when you drink a little bit too much wine or beer or some intoxicating substance? You're kind of, you don't care about a lot of things. You kind of feel good. I mean, that's why people do it, right? Oh, don't look at me so holy. Do not look at me so holy. The reason we partied in the world and did these things, of course, the devil never told us about the morning after the night before. You know, he didn't show us that picture. But, you know, there was this, so many times something going on in our life or there was pain, emotional pain going on. And so we wanted to kind of get high. We wanted to kind of escape. Well, he's saying, don't do that. Don't yield to those natural substances that will only bring you in bondage because they're from the devil. Don't do that. But he draws the analogy, don't be drunk with wine wherein there's excess, those kinds of things, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk with wine, don't get high on natural wine, but get high, be filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. And he says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that's fun, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things, all things. Thank you, God, for COVID. Thank you, because if that hadn't happened, we wouldn't be home getting to know our family that we barely knew. You know, there is always something he's going to bring us to be able to thank him for. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So I say, let's go on a holy drunk. Let's go on a Holy Spirit drunk. Let's get drunk in the Spirit. If you're burdened down, if you're, there's things that have gone on in your life, and there's some intense things, we get the emails every day. And we have prayer teams, and we're, as pastors, we're praying a lot for what's going on in our congregation and people that we know and love. And not some fun things during this season, bad things. But you can get weighted down with that. And God doesn't want us to live under that weight of oppression that makes our heart feel sad and just walk in that to where we end up with a bitterness and a sickness in our soul. He wants us to come into his presence and be able to be lifted up in the Spirit. So he tells us not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the Spirit. Let's talk about what God laughs at. You know, God laughs, and I already said he invented laughter. So in Psalm 37, 12 through 15, it says, the wicked plots against the just. Yeah, that is going on. Conspiracy theory. Yeah, you're right. The wicked plots against the just and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay those who are of upright conduct. Their sword shall enter their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. God knows how this thing ends. He knows the last chapter. He knows the end before the beginning. And so he laughs at the futility, the foolishness of man, that he would think, inspired by the enemy, the devil, that he can actually come against God's people and there will actually be any defeat in our life. That's actually why he says that we are more than conquerors. He's already conquered it, ladies, and we walk in that. And there's nothing that can happen in our lives that he's not going to work it for good, because we love him and we're going to come out stronger. We're going to come out happier. We're going to come out more glowing with the love of Jesus. We're going to come back out knowing him in a deeper way. Are you with me? Psalm 2, verse 4 also, it says that God laughs at these things, the foolishness, again, the foolishness of man, because he's God. Jesus said in Luke 21, 28, he said, when all these things come upon the earth, he said, basically, look up and laugh. Luke 6, 22 and 23 said, blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you. Yeah, you don't get invited to lunch when you don't want to gossip about the supervisor. And revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Laugh. Rejoice in that day that you've been counted worthy to be persecuted for righteousness' sake. For indeed your reward in heaven is great. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. So he tells us when these things happen, rejoice. Have joy, laugh, and know that God has got it all in control. So how do we laugh when things are bad? How do we make this happen in our lives? Well, you can watch I Love Lucy series. That maybe can help. But God wants us to reprioritize our focus. If we're having trouble laughing, if there's been too little laughing. I told my husband the other day when I was studying for this, we need to laugh more. And then the same morning I said that, I'm going to laugh at myself. The same morning I said that, we were talking as we were getting ready for work. I go running out of the house, and he's in the car. He kind of repositions the car so I don't have to walk on the wet grass. Yes, I'm very spoiled. But anyways, so we're getting in his truck, but then we have to ride in his truck, and I need a stepladder to get in. So anyway, so he's in the driveway. I come kind of running out to get in the car, and I stop halfway. He said, "I wonder why you looked at me." I stopped halfway, like, "Where's my briefcase?" So I ran back in the house, undid the alarm, looked all around, and sometimes he carries my briefcase out to the car for me. So I looked all around, and I go, "Oh, it's not here." Reset the alarm, go out to the car, open the back door, which is my procedure to put the briefcase in there, and I go, "Where's my briefcase? You didn't get it?" He says, "It's on your arm, silly." And there might have been another day that I might have gone, "Ugh, I'm so stupid." Anybody have some bad self-talk? Yeah, I'm still getting delivered. But I stopped and I looked at him and we both had the biggest laugh. We had the biggest laugh. I put my briefcase in the back seat and I go, I can't believe that. We just laughed, you know, and it was good. It was food for our seat. He said, "Well, you said we needed to laugh more, so there you go, girl." How many people have been talking on your cell phone, looking for your cell phone? Anybody done that? Oh, lots of hands. Yeah. We have to laugh at ourselves. Amen, ladies. So, as we've suffered these things that are going on and God's dealing with us on prioritizing our focus, we need to remember to take our medicine daily. Number one, we do that. It begins with praise, an expression of gratefulness. Even the secular articles I was reading, one advised that before you even get out of bed, lay there and think about three things that you're thankful for. I thought, all these principles are so biblical. We need to be thankful. If you're struggling in your marriage, I'll give you a key. I've recommended this to many couples over the years, and it works like magic. If that is the case in your life and you're struggling in your marriage, get your eyes off everything he's doing wrong, and just every day find at least three things that you're thankful for about your spouse. Yeah, you can find them. The Holy Spirit will help you. And they might even be small things. And then express that to your mate. "Honey, I'm so glad that I have you in my life, because if I didn't have you, I wouldn't be picking up these dirty socks." No. Anyway, that was free. But no. Find three things every day that you're thankful for. But start your day with praise. It's an expression of gratefulness. We need to be grateful to God for all that he's blessed with us with, all that he's done in our lives. Psalm 100, verse 4 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name." Number two, then there needs to be a casting or committing of your cares. It says in 1 Peter 5, 7 in the Classic Amplified Version, it says, "Casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all, on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully." Start out with praise, and then if there is things that are heavy on your heart, concerns, worries, fears, anxieties, say, "God, I commit it to you. I can't do, you know, things that you can do something about, then get busy and do what he tells you to do. But the care of it, the worry of it, the concern of it, ultimately, God has to move in people's hearts. God has to make some changes in your situation. So you commit that part of it to him. You cast the whole of your cares upon him. And guess what? If he has it, you don't. And if he has it, then he can do something about it. But you start wringing your hands, you start worrying about it, guess what? You're taking it back. And then he doesn't have it, and guess who has it? You have it, and you can't do anything about it. Are you with me? Number three, laughter is the expression of joy, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Nehemiah 8:10 tells us that. It says, "Then he said to them, 'Go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared.'" See that principle. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Laughter is an expression of that joy. Did you get something today, ladies?
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.